Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Cara Totley, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, girls rock Chicago, the Stanley Cup craze, early decision students join Wildcat Days, and your weekly pop culture roundup, The Beat List. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. On April 25th, three new bands will take the stage at Chicago's Color Club to debut their original songs and raise funds for the music and mentorship programs at Girls Rock Chicago. Sophia Quesa has the story.
Three bands will take to the stage at Chicago's Color Club. With distinctive styles such as folksy Americana to indie pop punk, they'll wow the crowd with two wholly original songs and one cover. And anyone who has ever played music knows that a three-song set, especially with two originals, isn't the easiest task. Now imagine that writing the songs, learning the various parts, and even building relationships between bandmates all has to happen in just 7 weeks. That's been the case for members of Let's Rock Chicago Extended Play, which serves as an extension of the Girls Rock Chicago Music Education Program.
Being in a band is something I would do like in another life or in an alternate universe or something, because like just the task of it was like really daunting.
That's Eli Colon, a current participant in the Let's Rock Chicago Extended Play program and the guitarist for the band Sweet Thorns.
And I was like, oh, that's perfect. Like it streamlines it for you because like you find people and then you have like a time frame to do it in. And like even though the time frame is challenging, it at least gives a little bit of structure.
For Colon, his band Sweet Thorns, and the rest of the participants in the program, Girls Rock Chicago is there to provide them with mentorship, as well as the resources necessary to accomplish their goal of putting together a small set for a concert. But these goals aren't limited to this specific event. In fact, this program is something of an anomaly, since most of Girls Rock Chicago's programs aren't targeted towards adults at all.
Girls Rock Chicago is primarily a summer camp for girls, trans, and gender expansive youth ages 8 to 16. At camp, youth come together to form a band.
That's Madeline Leahy, the operations manager for Girls Rock Chicago.
They take instrument lessons. They write an original song together. They record and perform their song all in 1 week. They get to record in a professional studio, and our campers perform at venues like Talia Hall and Lincoln Hall. So, you know, how many like 8-year-olds get to say they've played Talia Hall?
But the problem is that takes a lot of money for instruments, instruction, studio time, as well as the cost of making it accessible.
We don't turn campers away for a lack of funds. We grant around 30%, 30 to 40%, depending on the year, of campers some amount of financial aid.
So how does this get funded? Well, partially from benefit events, which is where Let's Rock Chicago comes in. All the proceeds from this event go towards funding for the youth programs at Girls Rock Chicago. In addition to an opportunity to play a show, program participants also get the gratification of helping the gift of music go on for another generation.
I wish that there had been more programs like this when I was that age.
That's Hayes McIntosh, who is the bassist for Sweet Thorns.
To be able to, like, even just get the confidence that comes with participating in a camp like this. I think it's really cool that it exists, and I'm really happy for the kids that get to participate in it.
Sweet Thorns vocalist Savannah Romero agrees.
Being able to know that I am contributing to give people the opportunity that a lot of us like didn't have like growing up, I think that that's just such an amazing thing.
In fact, this sentiment was shared across pretty much all the band members I interviewed. A lot of them would have wanted this supportive and uplifting space to explore creativity and expression when they were younger. And while they can't change their own past, they can help change the future of others. But that's not to say it's easy work. There are quite a few challenges facing our magnificent musicians. Firstly, there's figuring out how to communicate and bond as a band, since all of the members prior to this program had never met before. And then there's also scheduling, with the intricacies of full-time jobs, childcare, and other facets of life. Finding a couple chunks to work on your set can prove to be trying. And then there's songwriting. All the bands have to write two original songs, which on paper may seem easy, but in reality, it's often a different story.
I've never written a song before in my entire life. Like, I always have melodies in my head, and, you know, I write various little things. I mean, I write for a living as a lawyer, but you know, not as much on a creative basis.
That's Erica McPhee, who, besides practicing law, is also a member of the band Retrospects. While McPhee may have been initially critical of her songwriting abilities, she later warmed up to the idea.
So I just, like, was able to just sit down, knock out something, and I'm like, okay, well, it's a first draft, you know, no big deal. And then, you know, I said I could always edit it. And then when I look back at it, I'm like, oh, I'm actually impressed myself because I don't hate it. I was, like, very surprised.
That song that McPhee wrote will be one of the ones performed on the 25th in Retrospects' set. Sometimes, though, life just ends up throwing a curveball, as is what happened with Ely Colon and the rest of Sweet Thorns.
Our drummer had, like, a personal emergency, so our original drummer, so she had to drop out.
Which meant a few drummerless rehearsals, but it eventually led the group to Stevie Rezac.
I just saw an ad on Instagram that was like, we need a drummer emergency, and I was like, okay. So I didn't actually, like, apply, like, for the specific program.
But despite coming into the program late and not knowing the other three members, Rezac was able to click immediately with the rest of Sweet Thorns.
And it was like, oh, this sounds complete now.
And while, yes, there are these points of struggle, ultimately there is a lot of joy and triumph.
I do remember that when we came up with the band name for the first time, we just kind of kept saying it. We're like, wait, like, Sweet Thorns, like, that sounds cool. And then we were like, wait, what if that was our band name? And then that was, like, the day that we, like, officially had said that that was the name that we were going to go with. And we were just, like, all, like, jumping and, like, glee and stuff.
Similarly to Romero and the rest of Sweet Thorns, Retrospect has also had some highlights, as mentioned by Stephanie Bulander, the drummer and vocalist for the band.
I'm excited for the show, but I'm really nervous because I feel like it has been, like, a time crunch, too, because, like, we've only been really, you know, getting together, like, once a week for a few hours and, like, you know, but it still has been fun.
As the show date gets closer and closer, the question of the band's respective futures has come into question. Some may wonder if there's a life beyond Let's Rock Chicago extended play. Sweet Thorns already has an answer to that question.
When I was starting in the program, I'm like, oh, it's only gonna last for, like, 7 weeks, and, like, when it's over, like, I'm not gonna see them anymore, but no, we're like this.
That's Romero again.
Let's play book club. Let's, like, yeah. Yeah. We're just very determined and excited to, like, continue and, like, make more music together.
Stevie Rezac agrees.
To me, it wasn't just like, oh, like, we'll finish this program and that's cool. It's like, oh, like, I joined a band and we're gonna do so many projects together.
Currently, Sweet Thorns has entered DePaul's Battle of the Bands. Hopefully, though, they will have many more gigs to come. And even if this is the last hurrah for some of the bands in the program, many are still thankful for the experience Girls Rock Chicago has given them, including Stephanie Bulander.
They're giving us enough room to be creative and meet on our own and actually be a band, but also they're there for support. And they've always been there, and anytime we've had questions for anything, because that's, like, what their whole point is. And I think they're the really fun thing about this organization that I've noticed is, like, they want to provide the same fun environment that they do to the kids, to us, because all of us are kids at heart.
So whether it's for the badass musicians of today or the rock stars of tomorrow, Girls Rock Chicago is here to help them hit the right notes every step of the way. Girls Rock Chicago's Let's Rock Chicago Extended Play show will be held April 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the Tavern in the Color Club in Chicago. Tickets are $15, and their website will be taking donations to fund next year's youth programs until the 25th as well. For WNUR News, I'm Sophia Quesa.
Before the Awala, it seemed like Stanley Cups were everywhere. But why did people like them so much? And why did people have so many? Ella Barnes set out to find the answer.
When I say Stanley Cup, what do you think of? Do you think about the championship trophy awarded annually to the National Hockey League playoff champion? Or do you think about the water bottle? Chances are, if you're active on the internet, it's the latter. It seems like Stanley Cups, the water bottle kind, have skyrocketed in popularity over the past few months. All over the U.S., from suburbia to college campuses, the cup has become the accessory of the season. After the 2023 holidays, when the cup was a wildly popular gift or stocking stuffer, it seems nearly inescapable. People will spend hundreds of dollars on resale platforms to obtain a special holiday edition like Target's Galentine's Day drop. People will show them off online and in person for the admiration of others. Today, I talked to people who own Stanley's to figure out what all the rage is.
So we're probably going to hear some Kinky Boots going on, because that's where we are right now. Could you tell me your name?
Tiger Lee, and I'm working on Kinky Boots with you.
All right, fabulous. Okay, so you have a Stanley Cup.
I do.
So I chat up with Tiger, who got their Stanley for Christmas. They share that they would not have gotten the cup otherwise, though, because a Stanley cup can run for $40 to $50.
How do I say this? I feel like a lot of impressionable people online tend to latch on to trends that they think will make them cooler or happier based on what, like, you know, like influencers and people on, like, just like people who have a platform will tell them, which is not the healthiest mindset to have. And I feel like they promote a lot of things that are very mid and make them seem like they're these amazing things when they're really not. And I think the Stanley Cup is no exception to that. Let's
Tiger
say,
also mentioned knowing leaks, that the high cost of Stanleys are part
I think
of their
that,
appeal.
Like, people, like, that's why I think Supreme was such a big brand, because once you wore it, everyone was like, oh, like, it's a red logo, it looks stupid, but they have money. And I think Stanley Cup, maybe that's not the whole story, but that's definitely part of it.
My name is Sarah Charles Lewis, SareChCharles Lewis. I do have a Stanley Cup. I actually have two.
Sarah, unlike Tiger, was overall very positive about the cups.
Water's so cold. Like, when I want to have crisp water in the middle of the night, I fill it up with ice at the dining hall, and then I fill it up with water, and I have ice in the morning, too. And it's so nice.
Not only is the insulation of the bottle a selling point for Sarah, but the cup's ability to hold a large quantity of water, the straw, and the handle were all attractive factors. She also said that she finds herself drinking more water on a regular basis because of the cup.
Please.
I'm Anna Rico.
Do you have a Stanley Cup?
I do. I have... So first one I bought, and then I won one at a grad party, and then I got another one as a grad gift, and then my grandmother gave me one.
Okay, yeah. Do you think you use them all, like, frequently?
I use two of them frequently. I used to use the third one a lot, like, at home, but, like, now since coming to college, I don't use it as much. But two of them I use, like, all the time, my tea one and my, like, classic... handle Stanley.
The Stanley website separates its bottles into three categories: quenchers, ice flows, and water bottles. Water bottles are the general catch-all. In the Stanley taxonomy, all ice flows and quenchers are water bottles, but not all water bottles are ice flows or quenchers. Ice flows are, according to the manufacturer, tailored towards cold drinks and have a flip lid. Quenchers, the company's flagship bottle, have built-in straws and handles.
Yeah. Do you think there's, like, an aesthetic value to the Stanley Cup as well, like, carrying it around?
Sometimes yes, sometimes I'm like, yes, woohoo, carrying my Stanley. But sometimes it's annoying, like, especially if it's cold. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be carrying it and my hand will get really cold. So some days I, like, choose to not bring my Stanley because my hand has to be exposed and it's really cold. But yes, I think there is an aesthetic value to it for sure.
To get more insight on what the Stanley landscape is like in suburbia, I talked to my sister,
Amelia Barnes,
and learned about what's hip about them with the ninth graders in high school.
Like, my French class and stuff, there's, like, a lot of girls in my French class who have them, and they come in with, like, they probably have, like, three or four different ones. I don't get the point of it because they're expensive, so... But, like, they all have, like, different colors. And, like, they, some people, like, match them with their outfits. It's, like, crazy.
Water bottle fads are no new thing. Stanley is just the latest receptacle to get wrapped in the reusable water bottle trend. Hydro Flasks, Swells, Owalas, Yetis, and Camelbacks are some trendy water bottles for the past couple years.
I really think, though, like, it took off because, like, it was trendy, and I really don't know why it was trendy, but,
That's Anna again.
Like, the one that I use all the time was, like, a raffle item, which I don't think ever would have been in a raffle if it wasn't, like, a hot new thing. Like, I don't know, I feel like it's very interesting that it's now, like, children have, like, collections of them because it's, like, a big internet thing.
A question has been burning in my mind since I began to learn about the large-scale reach of the Stanley. Is the trend on the cusp of a decline? Here's what Amelia had to say about the question.
I mean, I don't think it's on the decline because people, like, I will walk into school and then, like, or like into a class, and then someone would be like, oh my god, yeah, guys, look, I just got a Stanley, and like, it's still happening. Like, my friend got one today. She was like, I finally got a Stanley. So I don't think it's on like the decline. I just think that it's not gonna be like a hot, like trendy thing. It's just probably just gonna be a water bottle people buy. It's not gonna be like crazy.
This story about Stanley Cups has kind of turned into a never-ending rabbit hole of angles to view the story through. There's just, like, so much to cover. The marketing genius, the sustainability questions of collecting reusable water bottles, the Black Friday-like squabbles in Target over the new editions of the cups, the fact that children are getting Stanleys instead of toys for Christmas. All I have to say right now, go drink some water. Whether instead of a Stanley is your prerogative. Reporting for WNUR News, I am Ella Barnes.
You may have noticed some new faces on campus recently. That's because today and last Monday were Wildcat Days, when Northwestern welcomes admitted students to campus. This year, Northwestern debuted a major change. Julia Allen reports.
There were some new faces on Northwestern's campus today and last Monday as the university welcomed this year's admitted students. NU's Admitted Students Days, also known as Wildcat Days, are a longtime annual April tradition. This year, though, Northwestern rolled out a new change. Early decision students were invited to participate.
It's an exciting change for this year. We have not been able to invite early decision admits to Wildcat Days for some number of years, just given capacity issues on campus. One of the great things at Northwestern is that our classes are small and our spaces are intimate, even though it's a big community. And that is wonderful as a current undergraduate. But when you're trying to bring over 1,000 people to campus, that can be tricky to know where to put them all. This year, we are, for the first time, our second Wildcat Days. So this coming Monday, we'll host registration and a big welcome ceremony in the Walter Athletic Center. And that is giving us the amount of space that we need to be able to include early decision admits if they'd like to attend across both Wildcat Days.
That's Associate Dean and Director of Undergraduate Admission, Liz Kinsley. She plays a major role in welcoming students and making sure everything runs smoothly.
It's a big deal, and it's kind of a all hands on deck process for us in planning. We work with a lot of campus partners. We're grateful to have lots of students on campus, current students who are involved in Wildcat Days.
Usually, the purpose of Wildcat Days is to allow prospective students who haven't yet committed to a college to explore campus, hear from faculty and staff, and get to know their potential future classmates. According to Kinsley, they also contribute to student yield.
The statistical likelihood of a student coming to Northwestern having been on campus is higher. So it does take a lot of planning. It takes a lot of energy on the day of, but it's an important part of the decision-making process for a lot of admitted students.
Shea Edwards from Atlanta, Georgia, arrived in Evanston for last week's Wildcat Day uncommitted.
When I got in, I decided that I needed to go to see the campus while it's in like full motion, when school's in session, and like I can see what it's actually like to go there.
Although Edwards was still deciding, she enjoyed having early decision students there with her.
A main reason why I booked that flight was because I wanted to see who my potential classmates were going to be. So that was a huge deal. Like, I definitely wanted them there.
According to Kinsley, Northwestern saw record attendance at this year's Wildcat Days. The ED admits not only contributed to these numbers, but also to the overall atmosphere.
Having early decision admits who have decided months and months ago that Northwestern is exactly where they want to be, who have been admitted, who have known for a few months that they're coming, who have connected with other students in the class of 2028 who are definitely coming, and then having that energy on campus on a day when hundreds of students there don't know exactly whether they're choosing Northwestern. They're excited.
Dalton Hanna from Los Angeles was admitted in December early decision. Even though she officially committed in 2023, she said she chose Northwestern in third grade. So even though there wasn't a question where she would be spending her college years, she attended last Monday's Wildcat Day.
It's hard when you get in December and they're like, okay, peace, see you in September. When the regular decisions came out and then the next day they sent this whole thing like, you can be at Northwestern in a week. It was kind of like a bit frenzied. And I was obviously so excited for this opportunity to connect, because it had felt like for the past like 2 or 3 months, I'd kind of gotten into college and then gone radio silent on the whole thing, which was kind of a weird feeling.
Although Hannah appreciated the chance to attend, she said she felt out of place.
It might not be worth it to go as an early decision student because it felt like the purpose of you being there was more for to convince people to go to Northwestern. It did feel like it almost needs to be two different events. It did feel weird that some people were obviously going to like see the school, compare it to other schools, see if it was the right fit for them, whereas other people like me were coming for way more of a social reason.
For Edwards, who officially committed during her visit last week, this rang especially true. Among the group of students in attendance who had already committed earlier in the year, she found her future roommate.
We just got to talking, and then I just asked, I was like, do you want to be my roommate? And she said, yes. I was hoping you'd ask that, because it's really hard to find a roommate, honestly, online, because DMing people is the only way you can do it, and like seeing the Instagram page, and it's just really hard to tell who a person is based on that.
During a Wildcat Day, students have the chance to sample classes, take tours, and even score some free merch. But for committed students and admission staff alike, the opportunity to connect with future and current Wildcats is one of the biggest draws to campus in the spring.
It's here for class of 2028.
From Evanston, Illinois, I'm Juliet Allen, WNUR News.
And now it's time for the B-List, your one-stop shop for pop culture and celebrity moments. You won't want to miss. Ilse von Heimberg has more.
Welcome to the B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, The Masters, Fallout, and, of course, Coachella. Coachella was last weekend. Let's talk about it. The iconic music festival in California featured headliners Lana Del Rey, Tyler, the Creator, and Doja Cat. Other performers among the 147 acts included Sabrina Carpenter, Lil Uzi Vert, Sublime, J Balvin, and No Doubt. The theme of the weekend seemed to be surprise appearances. Lana Del Rey brought out Billie Eilish, No Doubt brought out Olivia Rodrigo, Pesa Pluma brought out Becky G, and Bisharap brought out Shakira. In television, Prime Video released its new TV series Fallout last Friday. The show is based on the popular video game of the same name, but features original characters and storylines. It is set in post-apocalyptic Los Angeles in an underground bunker. The series has earned a 94% rating on Rotten Tomatoes so far. In sports, the Masters was also this past weekend. Texas native Scottie Scheffler won the golf tournament, his second green jacket in the past 3 years. The victory came as no surprise, as he is the number one ranked player in the world. Scheffler is the youngest player to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Players' Championship, and the Masters within the same season since Tiger Woods did it 23 years ago. And speaking of Tiger Woods, he suffered his worst 72-hole score in his professional career this weekend. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Ilse von Heimberg.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Tonight will be clear skies with a low of 48 degrees. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high of 65 degrees and a low of 47. Wednesday will call for umbrellas as there is a 50% chance of rain, but it will be a little warmer with a high of 68 and a low of 55 degrees. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe, today was Northwestern's Admitted Students Day. Student organization Fossil Free Northwestern and Jewish Voice for Peace at Northwestern had a rally at The Rock at 3 p.m. to show the admitted students what they say Northwestern really stands for, which is genocide, labor abuse, and environmental exploitation. The first criminal trial of former U.S. President Donald Trump took place today in Manhattan. The case of the people of the state of New York versus Donald Trump is the first of four criminal prosecutions against Trump to make it to trial. He is charged with 34 state counts of falsifying business records related to a hush money payment his attorney made to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Trump has pleaded not guilty, claiming the prosecution is a ploy by Democrats to prevent him from retaking the White House. On a brighter note, the 2024 WNBA draft presented by State Farm will be live at the Brooklyn Academy of Music tonight at 6:30 p.m. Central, with Iowa's Caitlin Clark currently being expected to be the number one draft pick to the Indiana Fever. The Boston Marathon was also held today, with Helen O'Beery claiming her second straight title in the women's race and Cissé Lema winning his first in the men's race. Lemma finished the race in 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 17 seconds, while Abiri finished with a time of 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 37 seconds. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Jesse Chen, and our reporters are Sophia Kesa, Ella Barnes, Julia Allen, and Ilsa von Heinberg. I'm Cara Totley. Catch our next newscast Wednesday, April 17th. Now, back to scheduled programming.